Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Time to talk music news with our music expert. Well, who else did we bring in for that? Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you guys?
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you very much. Third day, fourth night.
Okay, third day, fourth night. Okay, we're just talking about that a few minutes ago.
Fourth night got any special thing that has to happen, or is it like the other night?
No, that's why it's the, you know, they're all the same, you know. Eat potato pancakes, get presents.
Come on, Gary, sell this thing. Make me want to be you.
Well, you know, I mean, eight nights of presents and potato pancakes, that's not a bad start.
I got to tell you, it'd be tough for me to be Jewish. I'm just not a potato pancake guy.
Night number seven, wouldn't you just go, he's potato pancakes.
Again?
Think of the potato pancakes more like a hash brown thing.
Okay, all right.
And then you're, you know. Just in more of a pancake form.
Trust me, it works. Do you get the Jewish mother thing at all when they show up with potato pancakes on the fifth night? What, now you don't like potato pancakes?
Right, yeah. You know, there's always that. Although I have yet to have a problem not liking them.
What do you put on them?
I don't put anything on them. I'm weird. You know, the debate is whether it's applesauce or sour cream.
Mm-hmm.
With most people, but I'm, like I say, I'm strange. I like it plain.
All right.
Well, if you're watching your waistline, I guess applesauce would be the better bet, but that's probably got a lot of sugar.
Plain would be better.
If you're watching your waistline, potato pancakes are not what you should
probably
be doing anyway.
Hanukkah is not for you.
Exactly.
What time are they on today?
Are they on the potato pancakes?
Yeah.
What time is
evening.
Okay.
They're more an evening.
It's dinner. Okay.
A little too heavy for the middle of the night.
All right. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We have our inductees.
We do this year. It's an interesting class.
How many of these did you vote for? Did you say, yeah, I like these guys?
I voted for, I think, three of the five.
Okay.
The Cars, the Moody Blues, and Dire Straits. The two that are generating the most controversy, of course, are one is Bon Jovi, because there's a lot of haters out there that you know don't think it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Merit or Rock and Roll Hall of Big Sale.
Well, what's the criteria?
You know, there's not the only criteria is that the potential inductee, the nominee, their first recording had to have come out 25 years prior.
Okay, so you have to have been around for at least 25.
Right, otherwise, you know, merit is in the eye and ear of the beholder in this, and you make your determination that way.
Well, and the definition of rock and roll has been all over the place over the years. So
right, and it is within the Hall of Fame evidence. Nina Simone, the fifth performing inductee, what she was doing on the ballot, much less going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a performing inductee, I have no idea. I mean, to be an early influence would be appropriate. I think there are a lot of singers. I was surprised. I was talking to Justin Hayward from the Moody Blues on Tuesday, you know, when we got the word, and he did this very nice dissertation on Nina Simone and what she meant to him as both a fan and also as a singer, what he learned from her and her influence on him. So as an early influence, I think she'd be fine as a performer, and especially as a performer in lieu of some of the others that are on the ballot. I don't get.
So short of being the Eagles or the Beatles or Elvis, are there going to be some people out there going, what's that guy doing going in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I think not too many. I mean, like I say, Nina Simone. For obvious reasons, Bon Jovi, it's strictly, you know, really a taste thing and an attitude thing. You know, get past that. And, yeah, they deserve to be in, both on the merits of the music and what they've accomplished. You know, people aren't going to argue. There's always going to be somebody. It's more, and the statement is often more like, well, why are they in and this person isn't?
Okay.
You know, that's more of the discussion.
A comparative thing.
Right.
But you're good with Cars, Blues, and Dire Straits.
I am. I'm good with Bon Jovi, too. I think you can make a great case for them.
Who's not in right now that everybody's freaking out about?
Freaking out about? You know, nobody, not too many that people are freaking out about. You have pockets of fans, you know, that want to see the Jay Giles Band get in, that want to see the MC5 get in, or Mitch Ryder. A lot of people felt Radiohead from this year's ballot, you know, was a sure thing, and then they did not get in. Rage Against the Machine was on the ballot this year. Depeche Mode, a lot of people thought, would get in. I know The Cure's been on the ballot. Most of them will get in time. You know, as we've spoken about before, I think a big component of this is that it's a TV show. And I think HBO exerts a certain and perhaps a significant influence in who gets in, because they want to make a TV show that people will want to watch.
Well, John Lennon's in the Hall of Fame, and now we get to stamp.
Right. Yeah, John Lennon stamps coming from the United States Postal Service. This is part of a music icon series that they started, boy, a few years back with Elvis Presley. And Ray Charles, Johnny Cash has had a stamp. John Lennon is the first non-American in the music icon series to get a stamp.
But Elvis, they had different versions, like Young Elvis,
yeah,
Vegas
young,
Elvis,
had,
Fat
yeah.
Elvis.
Yep. Yeah, they had a whole series of Elvis. I think Lennon is just one. It's just going to be one stamp, and they haven't said when that's going to be out yet, but it will be a forever stamp, so, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, having John Lennon and then a couple of
what
couple
am I gonna
one,
do
2 cent stamps.
What am I going to do with all these John Lennon stamps, right?
Right. So, but that's nice. That's kind of a nice honor to see.
All right.
What's the Eddie Money reality show?
There's going to be an Eddie Money reality show on Axis. And it's about Eddie and his family, which is interesting. I mean,
what is the Eddie Money family? Boys, girls, wife,
there
ex-wife?
The ones who they're going to be focusing on the show, there are two boys and a girl.
How old are they?
Two sons and a daughter. They're all in their 20s. I think one might even be in their early 30s. They're all musicians. One of the sons has his own band. Both of the boys and the daughter perform with Eddie. And it's going to be called, the show is called Real Money. And it's going to debut. We actually had a date for you that I'm not finding here now, but I'm pretty sure it's sometime in March that it's going
to
be.
Are they trying to pick up?
I got April 8th here.
Okay, that would be right.
Are they trying to pick up where the Osbournes have kind of left a gap?
Yeah, kind of. You know, this is going to be on Axis rather than MTV. But yeah, they're picking up on the potential train wreck family. You know, father who's a little bit doddered.
Well, the last time we heard about Eddie, or the last time I heard about Eddie, he was being sued by his drummer.
His drummer, and that's ongoing. That case is still ongoing, and that was for unlawful or illegal dismissal, from the band. And I think Eddie is countersued in that as well. And so, that's an ugly, ugly suit. I'm sure that'll get into it somewhere along the line.
Who's the guy with the blue hair in the picture?
That is Dez, I believe.
Who is Dez?
Dez is one of the sons. I think he's a drummer, and he also has his own band.
Okay.
And the kids all actually are pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesse, the daughter, has a good voice, so they'll be.
Eddie was never accused of having a good voice.
No, but he had a good voice. You know, I don't think, we're not comparing him to the rock and roll greats, but he had a good voice.
Good enough.
Actually, if you've seen him recently, yes, he had a good voice. I was going to put it in present tense.
Because he basically talks through all his songs now, it seems like.
Kind of, yeah. So we'll see. I mean, this could be Osbourne-esque, except you might be able to understand Eddie a little better.
How old is Alice Cooper?
Alice Cooper has got to be about 68.
All right, and he is still chugging along, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, no, he's doing well. He had a new album out last year, Paranormal. He still continues to tour and works hard. And he was part of the Hollywood Vampires. This week's news was he put out a video for the final track from the new album, which is a song that he actually wrote back in 1967, which is pretty interesting. This is before his band was ever signed, before they even went to L.A. And it's apparently the first song he ever wrote himself, without any help.
Right.
So the story behind this was, he's been doing work in the past couple of years with his original band members, the original Alice Cooper band lineup, and they contributed to Paranormal, and Dennis Dunaway, the bass player, was the one who said to Alice, what about that song, and reminded him of it, and they unearthed it and made a new recording of it. Dennis gets a co-writing credit on it now, and they popped a video out for it this week, and it's going to be released as an actual single in February.
And he's doing King Herod.
Yeah, he's going to be King Herod. I guess it's NBC that's doing is it NBC or Fox that's doing the a live version of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, really?
That's all the TV rage now. Like that.
Is it
next week? The live Christmas story is going to be on
Sunday night, I think.
Yeah,
Sunday.
You know, there's been a live Grease. There's been all sorts of stuff.
So Sound of Music. They did that. That was one of the first ones. I'm looking at a picture of Alice here, and I'm thinking there was a time in his life when he could take off his makeup and you wouldn't know who he was.
Right.
And now he's sort of morphing into the stage character. He looks more and more like the person he dresses up as.
I think a part of that, too, is the longer you wear that makeup, the more it almost, like,
soaks in.
Permanent.
He's a Detroit guy, right?
He's born here and spent a lot of time. The band actually, you know, kind of broke out of Detroit. They moved from L.A. after their first two albums to Detroit, and it's here they made I'm 18 and Love It to Death and wrote those songs and did some recording.
I remember seeing him on Phil Donahue when I was in high school. I mean, I was probably 14, 15 years old, and that was back when he used to scare people, right?
Right.
And he was just on Phil Donahue being normal. He was just answering questions, sitting, chatting with all these housewives and this one woman said, well,
Was Phil outraged?
No, Phil was cool about it.
Trying to play the outraged part.
Not only normal, but smart.
Exactly. I think that was the first guy I had seen like that who said to this woman, and it was in the audience, said, well, come to the show. It's a show. I think you'll enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah, he goes, it's just a show that we're acting. It's, you know, he had to explain to these people, this is, you know, a show. We're not really cutting anyone's head off on the stage.
Right. That was the big part of it back then. And they would explain to you in high concept, you know, how it was, the whole thing was crime and punishment. You know, Alice behaves bad. The Alice character behaves badly and he gets punished. He gets his head cut off or whatever. And that's, you know, I don't know how many people really got that. I think it was just, ooh, cool, he got his head cut off. You know, they weren't thinking that he deserved it. They were just thinking that it was cool that he got electrocuted.
And parents were outraged. Oh, you're not going to any show where someone gets their head chopped off.
But he was. I mean, you know, back then in the early 70s, he was scary. People didn't know what to make of him.
Yeah, then I started hearing about, like, him singing the national anthem at shows
and
stuff.
Yeah, you know, he was on the Snoop Sisters on CBS.
You know. Yeah. You just I'm a guy. I'm just a normal guy.
It is pretty amazing.
Neil Sean, he's doing this charity concert. I'm not sure exactly what I should expect if I go to Neil Sean's concert.
Well, he put together a great band for it. So anyway, this is in February. This is a charity show in San Francisco for victims of the wildfires in Northern California. And it's him and Greg Raleigh, who he played with in Santana and then left and formed Journey with. And they've got Pino Palladino on bass and Dean Castronovo, a former Journey drummer, on drums. So that could be a good show. I mean, it could be a really good show. They could put together a nice repertoire of Santana and Journey stuff, probably a few covers, and I bet it sounds really good. Neil Sean has also just released an EP that has his version of Ave Maria, just in time for the holidays, and he covers a couple Journey songs on it as well and has an Elvis Presley song. So, and the whole Journey thing remains up in the air. I mean, it was, you know, we talked about it during the summer, all these bizarre and vicious tweets that Neil Sean was making about the rest of the band, especially Jonathan Cain.
Right.
You know, kind of alleging that.
They were on tour when he was tweeting all this stuff.
They were on tour. And, you know, I talked to Jonathan Cain, I think it was last month, because he put out a Christmas album. And I was like, so how did that work? I mean, you know, you wake up in the morning and there's this vicious tweet from this guy you're going to see in catering, you're going to see backstage, you're going to be on stage with. But even Carl Palmer, who was on tour with them with Asia, told me, he said, you never would have known any of that was going on. They would walk by, you know, fist bump each other in the hall, play great shows, and then Neil would go back and tweet something.
And How did it work?
It had to be the most bizarre thing. So they're supposedly going to be touring with Def Leppard next summer, but, you know, did Neil mean it, or was this just theatrics, or, you know, was he getting some of his prescriptions balanced, or, you know, what was the deal? Nobody, you know, really knows what happens there. He kind of shut down and stopped talking.
I don't know. I lean on you for this information.
Yeah, well,
all right.
You know, we're pursuing.
All right. Where do you want to finish up here? We have time for one more.
We should give a nod to Pat DiNizio of the Smithereens. He passed away Tuesday. I was 62. It was from unspecified medical issues after he suffered a fall last week.
Oh, man.
sadly, he was, you know, at the time he posted, you know, he was going to recover and was looking forward to getting back on the road. That, unfortunately, did not turn out to be the case. I mean, Smithereens, really good rock and roll band. I mean, you know, they had you know, some moments with a few, you know, other bigger hits, you know, Only a Memory, Girl Like You, Blues Before and After, you know, a lot of really good songs, but a great, great live band. I mean, they could really slam it live. And he was a very nice guy, you know, smart, good songwriter, you know, just one of the good dudes in the business. So, you know, it maybe won't have the impact of a Tom Petty or a Greg Allman passing, and it happened to come on the day, the announcement came on the day of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announcement. So he really didn't get his due. But, you know, he's a guy who made a lot of good music, and it's sad to think he won't be around anymore.
All right, Gary. Well, go enjoy the rest of Hanukkah.
Thank you.
All right, you're almost halfway.
There you go, and we'll talk next week.
All right.
All right, Gary, thanks. Talk to you next week. Gary Graff, our music guy.